All right, welcome everyone to another Wednesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel a Cabal. I would like to welcome a man I've gotten to know about the last 3 to 4 weeks now. I don't really know a lot about him, but I've gotten to know him a little bit. So I want to just introduce Lee Bracker to the show and let him tell a little bit about himself. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hello, greetings to everybody. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. What makes Lee Bracker, or what made Lee Bracker the way you are?
Two people fell in love with each other and they decided to have me.
Too much information there. What made you get into this type of stuff? Being a researcher and you're also a bit of a videographer. You made some kind of amateur documentaries, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, in the past year, I realized that I had to get some video out there. And that's because very few people have the time to read articles. I'm one of those verbose types. An article can actually read as if it's a full magazine, you know, a half of a book. What I put out is usually the result of an investigation that I work on. And so when I blog an article post, it's not just a half a page. It's usually quite a bit of information. And I discovered that even my friends, people that are the awakened ones, wanted to spend the time to read it. So I decided to get into videography, making documentaries as best I could. And I started off with Windows Movie Maker, and I evolved into using the Adobe product line. So I'm just starting to learn some of the other things. But I got into Adobe Premiere for a whole year, so I know that program real well. And what I put out, well, it's by an amateur. They're actually, I don't know, what do you think? They're professional enough that they can actually go out there on mainstream.
Yeah, most certainly. Some of the stuff that I've seen really looks nice. You know, somebody might have to pay you a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars to get something like that done from some kind of a company.
Yeah, well, they typically charge anywhere between, depending on the amount of research they got to do and the type of people that they have to cast for whatever it is, plus the amount of minutes that it would take to do it, you know, anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing's cheap. Nothing's cheap nowadays unless you're getting outsourced by some foreign company.
And that's right.
Unfortunately, that does happen. We're going to talk about, I think, probably the paranormal and the esoteric. More so than most anything else. I am only going to do an hour today, so we're going to have to limit a lot of the subjects. But what is your interest in the paranormal or the ufology, so to speak?
I didn't really think much of it. As I developed friendships with people, it seemed that most were into the UFO networks, MUFON here in Tucson, which no longer... I live in Tucson, Arizona, by the way, for anybody interested to know where I'm talking from, Southwest United States. And I didn't think that I knew anything. I mean, you have people that are abductees, those that have been experimented on, those that have been TI'd or targeted individuals. And I just felt like I didn't belong. But as it turns out, I belong right in there with them. And for the reason that I'm researching the New World Order and all the aspects of it, it just happens that it's all, in my opinion, alien contrived. It's all generated for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, tens or hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions of years, by outside off-world beings. That I had to consider all aspects of ufology, all the people that are in it, all those that have websites that talk about it, all those that spearhead campaigns like Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, when Bill Ryan was on there. I had to get to know and learn these people, meet them. And so I got into it just because I had, you know, an interest in understanding how the New World Order operates, secret societies, and Maxwell Jordan's work.
Maxwell Jordan, yeah, that's all right.
Which brings up an interesting thing. I reverse engineer everything.
Okay.
Which is how I get to the bottom of things. So sometimes I'm dyslexic in my thinking, which is a good thing. But I do think linearly. As far as the paranormal, it's always been an interest. You know, when X-Files came out, I didn't think much of it, just thought it was all entertainment on television and in film industry, until, Stephen, I started learning that everything that is happening is documented in the film industry, particular Hollywood.
Well, it is, and I believe that there are plenty of people out here in the last few decades here. I think Zachariah Sitchin is one name that comes to mind. I think his studies allege that there are societies that go back as far as like almost 300,000 years, maybe even further back than that. But, I think he also alleges, I don't know his works thoroughly or totally, but I think he also alleges that there have been many, many societies and over the billions of years that, the 4.7 billion years that the planet's been on, that Earth has been in existence, allegedly. And I'm losing Lee. So I'm going to... either try to waffle on here until I get him back, or I don't know, maybe just take a short break. He is actually in a Starbucks cafe where he's using the Wi-Fi there. And I don't know if there's some type of a problem with the Wi-Fi or some other type of problem. So I think I'll just put a short little song on here until I can get him back.
Hear my voice blowing on the breeze. Know your fate, know your history. As I am not.
All right, that was quick, everybody. I got Lee back. He turned his video off, so that's going to save on some bandwidth there, hopefully. And hopefully he wasn't getting any kind of an attack, but who knows. We were getting into, I was talking about Zachariah Sitchin, and I thought maybe I could get your thoughts on him.
Yeah, Zachariah Sitchin, he was a student of ancient artifacts coming out of Sumeria, which happened to be the Sumerian tablets etched with all of the different symbols and the stories that, and, you know, before I go into him, I really don't know much about Sitchin. I really don't.
Well, I don't either. I've
never read his books. But I did read Michael Tellinger's work on him, so I pretty much picked up on what Sitchin was doing, and then I learned from most people that there's big controversy on whether he was telling the truth or not telling the truth. It didn't really make a difference to me. People are out there not to lie. They're out there to try to solve puzzles. You know, realize what an ancient history is. And if they were there purposely to fabricate something, to me, it's ludicrous.
Well, you know, Lee, one thing that comes to my mind, you mentioned most everything has been documented by Hollywood and stuff like that. There's a movie out there I seen when it, just after it came out, and it was called Mission to Mars, I believe, with Gary Sinise. Do you know that movie?
Yeah, that was an older one. I forget the year that it came out.
Yeah, I think that was like 2000 or 2001 or something like that.
Yeah, that's when Gary and Tom Hanks were very close. They did Apollo 13.
Yeah.
And we don't see much of Gary Sinise anymore, do we?
Oh, he's got that TV show at CSI New York.
Well, I thought he was a terrific actor. He was an excellent actor. But I have a sneaking suspicion that he was rejecting the New World Order thing because Tom Hanks... it's just my opinion, and I hope I don't upset anybody by you know, alleging that he's a degreed Mason. And I think that Gary Sinise would have tried to detach from him. When you don't see somebody acting on a prolific level, that's when the indication comes that something's wrong.
Yeah, but so. Sinise is also a big producer. He produces that CSI New York show, so... He has two hats. I wouldn't want to allege just because he's trying to, fight against the same things that we're fighting against. He's being blackballed because I'm not so sure he is.
I have to apologize then, because if he is in the industry, entertainment industry, and he is producing a show, something like CSI, then the opposite would be more likely, and that is,
right.
I know what a CSI is because that's what I do, crime scene investigation of the New World Order. It's not forensics, laboratory science. It's decoding the messages that are coming from real people, real organizations, and in the film, entertainment industry, the lyrics of songs, the books that are distributed out worldwide, globally, to the masses, and all that stuff.
Yes.
That when somebody puts on a television show like CSI, the one that I remembered, they would solve a crime in a half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 45 minutes, yeah.
Looks easy, but that's not how crimes are solved. That is a diversion as to what is taking place. And I had to learn that the hard way. You know, the big example that I, and I won't talk much about this because you wanted to do UFO and paranormal, but our real life situation here in Tucson 4 years ago when they shot Gabriel Giffords, and I independently investigated that case.
Well, you can go into that if you would like.
Okay.
That's up to you.
The media psyops behind that is vast.
Yeah.
Okay. But what they did was they sent in 250 investigators. That's 250 investigators, really to hide evidence. Those people didn't know what they're doing. They're compartmentalized. But what they do is they bring all the bullet casings and all of this and all the, you know, people that they find, all the video that could have been taken.
Yeah.
At that time frame when bullets were shot, 10 minutes after 10.
Yeah.
On that Saturday of January 8th.
January 8th, 2011. Yep. Well, you know.
It's the day after you had your interesting dream.
Yes, it
is. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We assume that there's a crime scene investigation taking place. But the truth is, it's a big cover-up.
Yeah.
None of them were going by protocol, wearing booties. They were tracking it. They contaminated the scene. It was just, this is not what we see on television, which would be more of
a farce.
A clinic. Well, they show us what a crime scene should be investigated as. They show us all the protocols there.
Certainly.
But in real life, they don't apply that at all.
Well, they cherry pick and choose which crime scenes they're going to do that at. If there is something they want to destroy evidence with, then certainly they're gonna look like Keystone Cops. But you know, I just wanted to mention, Lee, in the media and the police per se, you don't have to control every single person that reports on something, and you don't have to control every single police officer that collects evidence. You only have to control the top tiers of the power structure in those two areas. You know, you only have to control the chief of police or the captains or lieutenants or whatever. You don't have to control every single cop that does something with the has something to do with the crime or something to do with the reporting, if it's a reporter. You only have to control certain aspects of it to control the entire situation.
As far as the media psyops, but to investigate those cases, you have to kind of look on the other side of things. In that particular one, the first cop on the scene looked in Jared Lee Loeffner's clip, admitted that there were bullets left in it. But the way they portrayed it was that Jared Lee Loeffner emptied his, you know, that clip.
Yeah.
Which had 33. They had to make the bullet count match the people that were shot, holes in the walls, bullets coming from other people, because it wasn't just Jared Lee Loeffner pulling triggers over there that day.
Yeah.
But getting back to Gary Sinise, for somebody to be putting out a program on television regarding this topic and this issue is somebody who is putting out contrives of what really happens. So,
well, you know, it only makes so much sense that people would want to know what goes on in a crime scene unit. Millions and millions of people knew that some of the crime scene units over there in, I think it was Southern California, when O.J. Simpson trial, where he allegedly murdered his wife and her boyfriend. The defense picked apart every aspect of the crime scene unit. And then, you know, it wasn't really much too far after that, too long after that, that the first CSI show came out, the Las Vegas show, you know, within, I don't know, 3-4 years or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they started showing everything that a crime scene unit would do.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of the aspects of it. I don't know. Maybe it's just a little ironic there.
I think that they do. What was it? When did the disclosure, alien UFO disclosure meetings start taking place? Where you had Carolyn Rosen, Steve Greer, and a myriad of different people.
I remember seeing one as far back as like 2001.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure if they go back further than that.
Why? Yeah, I have to look at it because I think it happened just before. And then the occupation of Iraq came out. And Congress decided to put that disclosure on hold. And they never had an opportunity to really disclose or make a case for Congress to disclose the alien connection element or equation. And it was soon after that that television programs were coming out.
Yeah.
Regarding that. When did X-Files first debut?
I'd have to look that up real quick. But I did just look up the CSI. They're into their 15th season right now. So they started in the year 2000.
Uh-huh. Well, you had CSI taking place at Trade Center Tower Ground Zero.
Yes.
So they have to kind of make people believe that something's happening when they do it a different way in real life. What people don't understand is that many of these events are operations. So it's a reversal of what is aired on TV and how they do things.
Right.
There are people that are employed as CSI experts. They go to school for this. They get their degrees to do it.
You wanted to know about the X-Files?
Yeah.
That ran from September 10th, 1993 until May 19th, 2002.
Yeah, I knew it went way back. So it was a year before Clinton started signing interesting laws into effect in 1994. Clinton was signing a lot of interesting acts. Things like that.
Yeah. So what comes to mind?
You know, before I talk about that, I have something interesting. Hollywood films preempt an event that'll take place. Typically what they'll do back in the day is come out with a film roughly about 4 years before
an event?
Before a major election would take place.
Okay.
And they do this to groom the people to pull the voting lever to whoever it is they portray a character in a film.
Right.
Can you guess what film may have been the closest to getting George Bush in office? Now, let me give you a hint. George Bush was portrayed as a human being who didn't know his left from his right.
You're talking about Junior or Senior?
Junior.
He came in 2001. So, no, I can't really think of much. Movies and that. I wasn't really into the movie scene in the 90s and that.
Okay, we know that George Bush kind of, what did he do? He defected or he got out of the armed forces.
I think he just existed in it until his time was up, but I don't know.
Okay. But while he was president, he portrayed himself, or they did, the media did, as a war hero.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't really very bright, yet they said he had 100 and God knows how much IQ. And he made a lot of mistakes, yet people accepted him. What film preceded his election?
Gump.
That's right.
I did just think of it, but
who played the character?
That was Tom Hanks. Tom. Yeah,
that's right.
Forrest Gump.
And if you look at all the films that Tom Hanks has acted in, you'll see that they're grooming movies.
Well, you know what was really what really gets me about Hollywood is they run off the CIA and the Pentagon script, depending on which fake candidate that gets into the office, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. They will run anti-war movies if a Republican's in office, and they will seemingly run pro-war movies when a Democrat is in office.
Uh-huh.
You know, Barack Obama's been in office for
7 years.
7 years now, yeah. Almost. Yeah, 7 years. He's only got 1 year left, doesn't he? And, almost 2 years. It's going to be the November 2016.
That's right.
You know, about...
So he's got 23 months left or whatever.
22, whatever it is, yeah. But they've all been pro-war movies. And when George Bush was in office, they were stumbling over themselves, putting out like, you know, putting out like Keystone Cop weekend movies about the army and war, people being bad. They portray people as bad. And now with this pro-war Democrat in office here, they seem to be doing just the opposite.
An interesting concept to contemplate is that what I believe the presidency's duration of time in is not 8 years as everybody thinks. It's really 10 years. It's the year before and it's the year after.
Yeah.
They go 2 4-year terms. They tack on a year before and a year after as a blending with the next person that will be put in office. They too have a 10-year lifespan.
Yeah.
It's all a blending of 1 year at the beginning and 1 year at the end. So you really have kind of like, it's not the case, but it's really as if there are two presidents at the same time for 2 years out of that decade. It's and what they're doing is they're going through a process where they're going from Democrat to Republican. And the following time it'll be Democrat again. Republican. Yeah. They keep switching back and forth, which is why you have a trade out of these different type of films that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Every 10 years.
Yeah. Do you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know the old joke about George Bush, though, right?
No.
Well, he's a turtle on a fence, is what they call him. A turtle on a fence. You know the turtle didn't get there by himself. So you know he had to have help getting up there.
Uh-huh.
That's just a joke about George Bush. But go ahead and expand on what you were talking about there a minute ago, though.
As far as George Bush, or
well, about the movies and about the transition.
Well, basically, I've seen changes that revert back and forth. It's sort of like a scheduled fashion that returns back, and you know, and it's every 10 years, but it doesn't happen on day one or day two. It happens over a 1 year period spread where there's a meshing between the two party system.
Because
they are truly acting as a one party.
Yeah. And you also know something else, Lee, that the really big joke about George Bush and his alleged presidency is I don't believe he ran anything. I don't believe that he did much of anything except get in front of the camera and act like a doofus. I think Dick Cheney's the one that ran the show myself.
A lot of people said that, sure.
Yeah. And I think the same is with Plugs Biden and Barry Satoru, too, the puppets we have in office today.
Well, the people that you don't hear about are the ones operating.
Yes, yes.
When they have to be public, it's because an event's taking place and it's part of their job to be the PR person. So because it happened to be war, that was Dick Cheney at that time.
Lori, the administrator of the network, would like to know what you know about MKUltra. Bush Sr. Used on his son.
Hi, Lori. do you have a last name for Lori?
Gallagher.
Gallagher. Okay. Is she somebody that I've met before?
Probably not.
Can you ask her? well, the reason why is because I have to be very careful what I say.
Yeah. Well, I guess you just did because once she gets a message, she'll type something in there.
Okay. Well, Lori, what I did was I knew nothing about super soldiers. Nothing at all. I'd heard maybe a word or two, but, you know, in one ear and out the other.
Well,
I was interested in going to a conference because it had to do with mind control. And it was Lorian Fenton who ran the Super Soldier Summit in Henderson, and it was her second event. I didn't attend the previous one, which was the first ever Super Soldier Summit, but I did the second one. And I went because I feel as though I came up with a pre-treatment that helps people decontaminate, decompress, reverse, actually arrest the progression, then reverse mind control. And that evolved from a very interesting way. I could explain that on another show when you have more time. But in a nutshell, I took what I felt was a solution there, and it was rejected. And because of that, it turned into an investigation while I was there. I couldn't understand why people were treating me the way they were, but then it turned out that something called MILAB, which is short for military abduction. So I learned about that 3 days while I was there. It evolved right before my eyes. I was a witness to everybody else having been abducted from that conference, their claims of it. I saw that people had no idea what the other person had experienced until they would bump into each other, and I'd be right there listening to their conversations, unrecorded. So they weren't trying to, you know, bamboozle me. It was just like, this is what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, that after the conference, I developed a friendship with one of the super soldiers. Uh-huh. His name was Tyler Clark. And we've remained in close contact ever since that conference because...
I think she mainly wanted to know about the MK Ultra that Bush Sr. Used on his own son, Jr.
Oh, did I go off in a direction that wasn't... I'm sorry.
That's okay, though. That's okay.
I don't know that story. If you describe it, maybe I might know something about it.
Well, I'm not sure about the story either, but I think somebody got a hold of him somewhere and, you know... really messed up his brain somehow. But she wants to know if you know, if you're familiar with Kathy O'Brien.
Well, I know of her and I know her story. And I believe we talked briefly and I just didn't know who she was at the time.
Uh-huh.
As I was learning all this stuff. But I know Arizona. Yeah, she came to Tucson and spoke at one of our meetings.
Arizona Wilder?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And... I know people as I speak to them, and that's how I get to know people. So I'm still not following what I'm supposed to know or how to answer.
Well, I think she just wants to pick your brain on your knowledge on the MK Ultra program. She says she doesn't know you, so you probably don't know her either.
Okay. Well, I know what they're doing, and I know where it's going. And a little bit of the history and so forth. But I'm not the expert to, as if I've read all the textbooks.
Well, that's...
But what I can do is I can talk about it in a way that nobody's thought of it. I did a video. And you know what I'll do is I'll share a video link, if I could think and talk at the same time,
right,
that you could share with your listeners. And it's a very short video. It's about 5 minutes long. And what it chronicles is an evolution of the MK Ultra, the female MK Ultra, which is usually, they call it the Monarch. Beginning with a character named Pris in the film Blade Runner. And that was a character role played by Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, that goes back a long ways.
Goes back a very long way. But we saw it replicated as a mirror image with a little girl named Maddie Ziegler, and she has like a little television show. She's just an 11-year-old girl, very cute, and it's just like a little kids show. Was hired, contracted to do a music video with Sia, who writes music for Beyonce and all of the other MK Ultras. And just to finish real quick so you understand what this video is about, is that the character that this little girl plays is almost a mirror image of the one that Daryl Hannah played in that film.
Blade Runner. Yeah.
Their actions, the way that, and unbelievable to watch this video. It aired on, what's her name's show? The Ellen DeGeneres show.
Too, okay.
Where Sia was turned from the audience. You never saw her face. And her image as a little girl was played by Maddie Ziegler doing dances wearing a leotard. Her hair was white and looked just like Daryl Hannah without the darkened out eyes.
Yeah.
That was one of the differences in that. It was stunning and it was sad to see.
Yeah.
But the point of that 5-minute video is to show that the MK Ultra program is alive and well, and they're passing the torch on with each and every generation that goes by, every 10 years.
Yeah.
Remember I used that number 10?
Uh-huh.
So the Z generation, as they call them, I think this little girl is at the tail end of the Z generation.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you kind of mentioned that. It was going to segue into my next question. Why do you think Hollywood has used the people in Hollywood? Why do you think they're used as subjects of the MK of the mind control program, MK Ultra program?
Well, okay, we're entering what they call that New World Age in order to establish a new world government or order. To do that, they have to make a new world religion. it's all this new world, this, this, and that, but they have to cover everything. It's a shift from the patriarchal to the matriarchal.
Yeah.
So they want us grunts, men, to follow the orders of female leaders. It's why it's predicted that Hillary Clinton's going to take office.
Right.
If not her.
Jeb Bush.
He's not a girl.
Well,
I think they're going to probably put a woman in there. If not, I'd be mistaken, but, you know.
Yeah.
Don't execute me for it. Thing is.
Do you have that link, though, Lee?
Nobody's looking at Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
But Sarah Palin would be the filler material in there to get Hillary Clinton in.
There's a good reason why nobody's looking at her. She's I mean, besides aesthetically, she's not really a viable candidate. But do you have that link that you were talking about there?
Well, not viable to us, but they could fool the rest of the nation. So yeah. 300 million people, there's just a handful of us.
Yeah.
But 300 million people, it's easy to fool.
Yeah.
She
had her chance quite a few years back, but, you know, she ended up trying for second best with John McCain. But do you have that video link there? Lori would like to have that.
Okay. Well, talk to your audience while I do it because I have to shift my mind.
That's okay. Yeah. If you need to find the video, yeah, that's okay. None of these things that I've heard over the last 6 years now that I've been a researcher, I've heard for many, many years. Nothing's new to me as far as this conspiracy. I just didn't believe in the conspiracy up until 6 years ago. But, you know, I heard about the New World Order and the Illuminati when I was a little boy. But it just didn't interest me. But, you know, since I had my awakening, as they call it, I've looked into the conspiracies, and you know, they're not such crazy conspiracies anymore.
There you go. I just sent you the link.
Okay.
All right.
Breeding Monarchs?
Sure. Breeding Monarchs.
Okay.
That's the title of the article, and in that article, whoever gets this link will find the marquee, which will say Breeding Monarchs. It'll have a picture of Maddie Siegler, little 11-year-old girl,
right,
and the picture of the character Pris, who is played by Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner. And that video will demonstrate what Madonna was doing and, you know, the other. It's not a full-fledged documentary, just a short brief. I plan to do a full-fledged one at some point. But it'll give people an idea of my video editing skills. And
oh, this is your article, too?
It's my article at my website.
Okay, that's good.
One of my websites, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of the name Maddie Ziegler before. I just didn't know where it was that I heard it.
Yeah. Well, somebody brought it to my attention. I'm glad they did because I didn't either.
Uh-huh.
But immediately, it brought memories back. So I know that character from somewhere. I saw that before. And sure enough, it didn't take me but a couple of minutes to recall where I saw it.
Yeah.
And it happened to be Blade Runner.
Where's now, the video at?
You woke up 6 years ago.
Ah, okay. I see where the video's at. It's in the first paragraph, isn't it? Yeah.
I woke up, started waking up, probably 2005, right in the middle of there, right in June. And I started reading the papers. I found out, it took me a little time, but not much, to figure out what they're doing here in Pima County, which is Tucson, it's a seat, Arizona. They're building a neo-Nazi rail transport system that will connect all of our medical facilities with federal operations and governments facilities.
Yes.
And it's Nazi Germany all over again, where you got IG Farben that was linked to your concentration camps. Well, they got that happening here.
Yeah.
It is a template in which other cities are doing the same thing. I've just been focusing it on here. You know, to wake up to the chemtrails happening at that time, too, was amazing. So I guess I would say I got about 4 years on you on the waking up part. But yeah. You know what? At the time when I was waking up, I was talking with people and learning about this stuff that would boast about, oh, well, I got 20, I got 30 years, I got four decades of understanding of the New World Order. I had zero.
Right.
But it wasn't long before I surpassed them knowledge base-wise. So anybody that has a difficulty thinking that they're not caught up, don't worry about it.
Right.
Because it's best not to be caught up in yesteryear or decade. I'll tell you why I think that.
Yeah.
Because people get stuck and they end up being voices out there. without the solution. Uh-huh. Because if there was a solution, Stephen, these people that are boasting about how much time they have with the understanding of everything, well, they haven't put a solution out, so what good is it?
Yeah.
This is not a competition to see who's got the best trivia background, you know, it's who wants to be a millionaire and answer all the questions at the water fountain because they listened to George Norrie the night before just to test people's knowledge base.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. Because George, Alex Jones, none of them put a solution out there. They've been working for a long time and long enough that it's about time. Yes. To change what's happening out there.
It is. We're all about solutions here at People's Internet Radio. Laurie would like your website also, if you can give me the link to that.
Well, that link that I sent, all you got to do is click on the banner.
Uh-huh.
It'll take you right to the front page.
The banner. Dismantle the Beam Project?
Yeah, right at the top. It says Dismantle the Beam Project.
Ah, the fourth dimensional recovery. WordPress.com.
Yeah. And as she scrolls down, she'll get far enough there, it'll begin the articles.
Okay.
WordPress is a blog site, but I had to kind of make it try to work like a website.
Right. Well, that's okay.
Now, I'd like Laura to also look to, if she were to scroll down to something that says Enter, NWOCSI, that's a companion website which deals with all of my crime scene investigations.
Troll Triad. What does that mean? Oh, okay. Okay. I see what that is. Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Sherry Kane, and Michael Vera.
Yeah.
Well, New World Order Crime Scene Investigations. A film analysis? That's what that says? Okay.
Most of my film analysis occurs on Dismantle the Beam Project.
Ah, okay. Veritas Cures. WordPress.com. Is that a sister site too, or
which one?
Veritas
Cures?
Three
websites. Yeah, the one that I like doing the best, but I don't have time anymore, is the Health, Wellness, and Treatments for Obscured Untreatable Diseases website. I call it VeritasCures.wordpress.com.
Uh-huh.
And there is where I show the treatments for vitiligo, for anorexia nervosa. And these are all 100% effective. I can't use the word cure, but I am. They're pre-treatments for all, what do you call it, standardized,
right,
or conventional methods to actually be cures. It's a treatment. And in various forms, I have articles that talk about food in ways that people have not considered. The information I get are from real people. From real research.
Yeah.
And so therefore some of the things, much of what I've published, you can't find on bookstore shelves. I really kind of went all out. It's actually where I started.
Uh-huh.
When I was studying food, I also had to learn about the corruption in our food supply. And when I learned about the various companies that were defrauding the world, poisoning the world, we know who they are. I entered into the whole dark, miserable world of the New World Order.
Right.
And that's where I made my shift. But I do maintain my connection with health and wellness, because one of the aspects of overcoming all the toxicity is by knowing what to do. So, you know, how do you treat Morgellons disease? Have you ever heard of the treatment?
I hadn't even heard of the disease up until like 5-6 years ago, something like that.
Okay. Well, Morgellons disease is what they claim is coming down from our chemtrails, the fibers.
Oh, right, yes.
And they act as nanobots.
Right.
And they actually grow as if they're crystalline structures. Whatever it is, they're invading our bodies. And you can't use monoatomic silver for it, antivirals, because they're not viruses. They act like it, but they're not.
Right.
And things like that. But somebody, and this is interesting, I can't find it anymore, but somebody had posted an accidental stumbling into the treatment for Morgellons. And it was something that I posted up there to maintain its longevity out there, because I knew that that information would be scrubbed. I may be wrong. I'd like to be told otherwise.
So what is the treatment for it then?
Well, this woman had a bad case of Morgellons. She would notice that those little colorful fibers would be poking through her skin, and she was just in a miserable way. One evening, she was taking a bath, and when she had to get something, so she tiptoed out of the bathtub to get whatever it was, and her cat had spilled is from what I remember. It could have gone a different way, but what happened was a box of laundry detergent, it was either laundry detergent or dish soap. It was Sun laundry detergent of a specific kind. I would have to go back into the article and tell you exactly what it was, but it was a specific type of Sun, S-U-N, detergent that spilled in the tub. Also, capsules of alfalfa. She got back into the tub, didn't notice it there because it was filled with suds and stuff like that. Probably she had Mr. Bubbles or whatever she had in there. And then experienced this exodus, so to speak, of these fibers. They had all been repelled from her body, from her experience.
Well, people just don't realize, Lee, that the skin is actually the biggest organ on the body. It can take in the most nutrients or the most poisons, one or the other, you know?
Uh-huh. That's why it's important to be barefoot, because if you're barefoot on natural, healthy, not toxic soil, you're actually absorbing nutrients.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
And the transfer of toxins back out.
Absolutely. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but I think a lot of people have known somebody or have heard of little children that go outside and pick up dirt and just eat it.
I did that.
Yeah.
I used to chew on clay.
I had a kid in my neighborhood that did that, and I didn't know what the reason was for many, many years. And then I found out later, you know, in the last 6 years, that children will do that because they subconsciously know their body is mineral deficient, and the minerals that they get from the dirt help their body out.
Animals do in the wild. An elephant will go into the jungle and actually deforest as much as an acre just to get down into the mud, because what they're doing is they're taking in the diatomaceous clay, which is very negatively charged, so that they can neutralize the positive charges within their body so that they can get a healing taking place. It's like a cleansing process.
Yes. And also, Lee, a lot of people don't know, but elephants in the wild will strip the bark off of trees, and they will virtually kill trees that way. The bark is what holds all of the nutrients from the ground in the tree.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why those big, chaga mushrooms grow on birches.
Right.
Like right up there in the middle of the tree, you'll find the big mushrooms. What they're doing is they're absorbing all the nutrients from the bark.
Lori would like to know if you can get her a coffee, please.
A coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, she saw me drinking.
No, you're in a Starbucks. I think she heard that machine going off in the background there.
Oh, right. Yeah. I wish I could.
Yeah.
I've bought a new headset, but it doesn't go that far as to deliver coffee.
She's in Scotland, by the way.
Right on. Well, she can email me. Anybody can email me. I'm easily contactable. I'm not afraid of anything out there. So all my emails and telephone numbers, they should work.
Yeah. Well,
I'll get back to it.
Yeah, we'll go by another, a little less than 10 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up here. But
can I finish on a tree?
Sure.
The reason why trees are our medicine, all trees are medicine trees, each and every one of them, is because their root system goes so deep underground. As much as the length of the tree, the height of the tree is as far as the root system can go underneath, that it's drawing the minerals into its system that aren't normally available on the surface. They're getting down under there, which is why the mushrooms are so nutritious and why the bark is actually medicinal. There's a tree in Oaxaca, Mexico called the Mexicans call it Tepezcohuite. But it's the Tenaflora something or other. It's kind of like a mesquite tree down there. The Tepezcohuite tree, is the bark that they get from it, is used to heal second and third degree burns. When you look at Wikipedia or whatever, they'll just say it heals second degree burns, but the truth is it'll heal third degree burns as fast as what we saw in the movie Hunger Games. When Katniss Everdeen, when she's up in that tree and she's suffering from a real bad burn, if anybody's seen this film, they send her a synthetic version of an ointment that in real life is the Tabasco Huite.
Okay.
And the following day, she was healed with just a little bit of scarring.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens in real life. It comes from the bark of the tree.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie. So.
Well, if you get to know me long enough, you're going to see all of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All the ones that I look at, actually, because really there's a lot of truth to what they're saying in a fictionalized tale. And it's not really in the books that are written about the film. It's more about what they show in the film that they got to get to the kids who don't read books anymore. So we're seeing the nuts and bolts coming out of the visual aspect of storytelling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that there are a lot of things that, well, they've been hiding a lot of, you know, natural cures from us. There are quite a few people in our network that seek and teach people about alternative medicines.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them have been, you know, scorned by the system.
Do you know why Alcoholics Anonymous was created in 1935?
Not the true reason or anything. No, why?
Okay, well, the supporting group for Bill Wilson was the Rockefellers. It's a known fact. He went to them, but they wouldn't give him a lot of money. But what they did was they gave him the support of their business associates. The people that crunched the numbers and did all that were freely given to Bill Wilson, free of cost. But that was to organize a way to keep people from the GOLD, G-O-L-D treatment that predates Alcoholics Anonymous. During the Temperance Society, between 1880 and 1900, for 20 years, there was a treatment for addiction, but it was also the treatment for diseases at that time, and it happened to be gold.
Yeah. Are you talking about gold injections?
Yeah, the double chloride of gold, and that was by Enrot, what's his first name? Keeley. They called it the Keeley bichloride gold treatment, and
yeah.
It was injected four times a day so that people would go back to drinking. But it also included opium,
uh-huh.
And narcotics, smoking, yeah. And various things.
Well, that's kind of odd because I've got rheumatoid arthritis, and I've had it for 23 years now.
Well, what you got to do is you got to look 24. At the tree. I'm glad you told me that because I've known you for a while. You should. I wish you would have told me, but I'm glad it came out. Dimethyl sulfoxide is where they get MSM from. Excuse me, I have to clear my throat. MSM. M is a Mary, S is in Sam. M is a Mary.
Right.
Okay. They get that from dimethyl sulfoxide, which is DMSO, and it's taken from the pine tree, P-I-N-E tree. That dissolves calcium. If you have calcium deposits between the joints, it's usually calcium bicarbonate that is in the food that you're eating, and it's not going into the cells where it should.
A lot of things, Clive. Yeah, a lot of things. Clive DiCarlo talks about too. Some of the same
sure.
things.
You'll have to take that topically, and if you've got rheumatoid arthritis, you may have to take some injections of it. But you can't be around people because there's a side effect.
Flatulation.
No, it makes you crazy. No,
oh.
I'm kidding. it's halitosis.
Okay.
But. And it's the sulfur that's in it. And once that's gone, then you're fine. You're good to go. What it'll do is it'll go in there and start healing. Rheumatoid arthritis is also, are your joints and your fingers moving in a different direction?
Yes.
Okay. When did you start getting that?
1992.
Well, the best thing to do, Stephen, is go to the veterinarian. One that treats horses, and ask them for a couple of ounces of it. They'll give it to you for free. Say you want to experiment with it because you got arthritis, and you want to see if it'll start dissolving, you know, the calcium that's kind of accumulating there between your joints. You'll feel relief from it. It's applied topically. You don't have to do injections. Just test it and see if it's working.
Uh-huh.
And in a couple of months, you know, we'll see where to go with that. Quick story before you hang up on me.
No, I won't hang up on you. I'll say goodbye first. But
DMSO came out when they developed pine sol.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's short for pine solvent.
Right.
It's a solvent that comes from terp, that comes from the pine tree.
Okay.
It was the Rockefellers that sold a cheaper solvent. It was from petroleum, right?
Uh-huh.
That they changed the formula of pine sol. Now, before they did that, people were healing from rheumatoid arthritis because they were touching this stuff and it was absorbing into their into their system. So the constitution of their system was getting the healing properties of the blood from the pine tree, from pine salt, a cleaning thing. So now if you take a sip of that stuff, it'll put you in the hospital. If you take a drink of it, it'll probably kill you.
Yeah, you get it on your hands or your arm or something, and it might not be good either, huh?
Uh-huh. Now you're not going to find that in the textbooks, but it's just for my observations that that's what I tried to find the sources and go back. I tried Colin Clorox that now runs, that makes Pine Sol.
Right.
They won't tell me anything.
Right.
But that's basically what it is. I mean, it just makes sense.
Well, I know there's plenty of stuff we could talk about, so we will have to do another show, Lee.
Right on.
That's for sure.
It was fun being here with you. Thank you.
Yeah, and do you want to say anything about the shows you are going to be doing here pretty soon, or the networks or anything? Or?
Well, 2015 is the year that I decided to come up from out of the woodwork, and I've been off-grid for so long that it's time that my voice is heard out there. So I've been struggling to find radio networks that will take me. But I found two of them, and so I'm starting up as soon as next week. So I'll be out there. I'll be doing my own radio shows, hosting, and bringing guests on. And I am the type of person that like to talk to anybody. So regardless of who you are, if you have a topic, if you have a concern, if you have anything you want to talk about, I'm right there with you. I don't think that I'm going to be having very prominent people out that are the typical showcases that go on to Prison Planet or Coast to Coast and some of the other big-time shows. That's because I don't feel that they're really putting out the true information.
Right, right. A lot of them are controlled. We know that.
So they are. And so whoever you see on my show that are known people, just know that they're there for a good reason.
Yeah.
And the ones that you don't see.
Yeah. Who knows? You might even get an offer from People's Internet Radio to have a show on there.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Lori likes you, that's for sure.
Right on. I like her too. Thank you, Lori. And thank you for the question.
That's all right. Yes, thanks, everyone. I can record the shows and put them on the network here if people want, or I can even produce him. I'm working with him. I'm gonna be working with him on a different network here, Lori. So trying to get him set up with a broadcaster, one that'll work with his Windows 8.1. I'm hoping that the butt broadcaster is gonna be the one that'll do it. If not, there should be something out there. But yeah, Lee, I do appreciate you coming on here.
You're welcome.
Had a nice little talk here.
Yeah, hope to do it more. I'll have you on my show. I'll have anybody on my show.
Yeah. That's all right. Well, everyone, I don't know. Maybe I'll see everyone real soon and do a ninja show. That's always possible. I've done them in the past and I'll do them again. So, thanks everyone for coming out. I'm just doing an hour tonight. Got lots of things. It's one of my pool nights here, so I got to get off the pool. So I'm going to leave you with the song I tried to play earlier when I lost Lee. It's, Abenach, Ancestors. And if I don't see you before next Wednesday, everyone, see you next Wednesday.